Part 1. Rokeby Dreams. Chapter 1. The Legacy. As one tops the final rise of the gravel carriage drive, the eastern wall of the 43-room mansion appears. Even from a distance, one can see the brown water stains that streak the mansion's off-white stucco walls and the missing slats in the peeling black shutters that edge its long-paned windows. Layers of slate tiles cover the mansard roof like the scales of an armadillo. The house's wide stone steps lead up to the porch and the faded frescoes that adorn its sandstone walls. One fresco depicts the Algonquin who dwelled on this land before it was granted to the Scotsman Robert Livingston Sr. by King James II in the 1680s. Another portrays Napoleon giving a flock of Merino sheep to General John Armstrong, Jr., U.S. Minister to France from 1804 to 1810, Secretary of War in Madison's cabinet, and the man who built this house. Known to all as the Big House, this mansion last rattled with life when the 11 Astor orphans, the great-grandchildren of William Backus Astor, Sr., roamed free here, wild, willful, and beyond their guardian's control. The big house, with its high ceilings, vast open spaces, and secret niches so tempting to children, has never been conducive to discipline. The 450 acres of land surrounding the house have always served as a buffer against the outside world. It was William Backus Astor, Sr., son of John Jacob Astor and the richest man in mid-19th century America, who brought great wealth to Rokeby when he married the daughter of John Armstrong, Jr. and Alida Livingston. And it was Astor's granddaughter, Mattie Astor Ward, and her husband, John Winthrop Chandler from South Carolina, who orphaned the large brood when they both died of pneumonia in the space of 2 years. These free-spirited Astor orphans left us, their descendants, our legacy, the house, its history and contents, and a sense of entitlement and superiority. They were the original eccentrics of the family, each one unconventional and adventurous. Of the 11 orphans, 8 lived into adulthood. Louis Stuyvesant Chandler, Uncle Louis, reportedly saved 10 men from the electric chair as one of New York's first pro bono attorneys and later served as Lieutenant Governor of New York. William Astor Chandler, Uncle Willie, Teddy Roosevelt's classmate at Harvard and fellow explorer, reportedly hobnobbed with Jesse James in the Wild West, worked as a gun runner in the Spanish-American War, and discovered 16 new species of deer during his hunting expeditions in East Africa. Robert Chandler, Uncle Bob, was a well-known painter of murals and screens, and one-time sheriff of our town. John Armstrong Chandler, Uncle Archie, was incarcerated in a mental hospital by his brothers for his bizarre behavior. Winthrop Chandler, Uncle Winty, was also a hunter, and his daughter Laura married the son of Stanford White. Aunt Alida Emmett was presented to the Queen of England as a girl, and had the distinction of being the last living member of Caroline Astor's original list of the 400 most elite members of New York's high society. Aunt Elizabeth Chapman, who married John J. Chapman, was the subject of a famous portrait by John Singer Sargent that is kept at the National Gallery in Washington, D.C. Finally, my great-grandma Margaret Chandler became the sole owner of Rokeby as a young woman after buying out her siblings. Evidence of the orphans' exploits surrounds us and offers us a standard to live by. Today, the Astor money, which has supported generations of aristocrats ill-equipped to earn or invest, is gone. While that undisciplined, orphaned spirit still abounds, it is depressed by the house's sterile air of preservation. Aside from its continuous deterioration, the house has changed little since great-grandma Margaret's death in 1963. To keep the house as it was then, we sacrifice any resources that might have been invested in current generations. In return, the house gives each of us, the impoverished descendants, an identity. And we live off the remains of our ancestral grandeur.